This is the Day Zero Update for July 16th, 2017. I am Filippo Genolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
Yep, it's Evo week, so we got a lot of, well, some fighting game news to talk about. Not as much as I would have expected, to be honest.
There may be more.
Yeah.
I'm keeping an eye on it since it's top 8 day.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to seeing what happens there. But, yeah, the competition's been really good so far. So, yeah, if you haven't had a chance to check out the streams, a lot of them are archived. I think actually all of them are archived, so you can go back and watch them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of good Street Fighter V play happening, a lot of good Tekken 7, Smash. Yeah, well, that's a thing.
That's your thing.
Yeah, that's a thing that exists. But KOF 14, some good competition there, too.
Still got to watch that.
Yeah. So, yeah, check that out. And expect all the top eights to be later today. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty fierce. And, yeah, those, I think you'll be able to watch those on TV, even if on ESPN. So
ESPN2 is streaming. ESPN2 is broadcasting the top 8 for Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
Disney XD is broadcasting the top 8 for Smash. So.
Okay.
still nothing for Tekken, but
yeah.
Tekken 7 top 8 will be starting right around the time we finish recording this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on how long we go. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we got some stuff to discuss this week, but before we get to the main stories, I think we'd talk a little bit about what we've been up to this week, because, we've had stuff this week.
Oh, yeah.
To play, along with my, you know, usual Diablo 3 and Tekken 7 that I've been enjoying. I've also gotten a Crash Insane Trilogy, so I've been playing a little bit of that, and
cool.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's hard. I seem to remember being better at games at one point.
I heard that the jump mechanics were kind of jacked in the Insane Trilogy, so...
Not so much jacked, just adjusted. That may be something if there's enough pushback, might end up patching. But as of right now, it's different. Definitely different. So that's been good. I've also been playing Final Fantasy XII: The Zodiac Age.
How's that treating you?
That's really good. This is a remaster that's absolutely worth getting. If you didn't play the first game, you want to pick this up on a PS4 because it's really good.
I played the first one, but it didn't do much for me. So
yeah,
well, I do have my Steelbook now, so that's a thing.
But one of the things to keep in mind about this one is it's actually based on the international version. It's got the improved job system. It's got the transparent minimap that the original didn't have. A lot of quality of life stuff that came later to the international version of the game that we didn't get on the original PS2 version.
Just like how they did Final Fantasy X and X-2 on the PS4.
Yeah, I still need to pick that collection up. So
it's a good collection.
Yeah.
And it's dirt cheap now, too. So
yeah, I think in a couple of weeks I'm going to do a little Amazon order, pick up Type Zero HD, pick up 10, 10.2, and maybe I'll pick up 15 if it's cheap yet. It probably has dropped in price quite a bit since it launched.
If you were to get a Final Fantasy 14 starters kit, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah, it's... me and MMOs don't really get along very well, so that's kind of a problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I've had to, I would have to get a chat pad or something to be able to type in, but yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
I'll just use a USB keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, we got one of those, but.
$10 at Walmart.
Yeah. So. Other than that, I've been watching the streams from Evo and enjoying some of that and wondering who some of these people are, because I'm not as steeped as Pat is in the FGC. So it's a lot of people I don't recognize, and maybe that's just because there are so many newcomers this year.
Yeah. I mean, so many people are good.
Mm. Yeah, so... yeah, that's pretty much been my week. How about you, Pat?
It's kind of disheartening that going into Evo and seeing how the Tekken 7 pools played out, I would have actually been one of the better King players there.
Yeah,
but
told you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what have you been up to then?
Well, obviously Tekken 7 has been a thing because that's been...
the thing for everybody.
I think it has dethroned Street Fighter V as the core of my fighting gaming, as I expected it to.
Yeah.
Also, Stormblood I'm coming up on the end of because I just started a quest that is called Stormblood. That's a pretty good indicator.
Yeah.
What a game that's been. I mean, if there was ever any remaining lingering doubt that Final Fantasy XIV was a proper numbered Final Fantasy game, Stormblood would alleviate all that. The story, the cast continue to be awesome. They keep making the gameplay better and better. Your characters are the characters you create are definitely yours, and it's not to the. It hasn't been distilled to a point where there's like one true way of going about things. And any time it looks like there's like that's going to happen, Naoki Yoshida steps in and makes balancing adjustments. It's absolutely brilliant. Mm. Other than that, I've actually been going back to the Xbox One and playing some Killer Instinct because I've got a couple of friends who are getting back into it, and I'm a fan of the game, so getting back into it for me has been no problem. Kind of disappointed that there doesn't seem to be any presence for it whatsoever at Evo.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can do something to re-energize the game because it deserves it.
Yeah. I think there's some like there's some pickup games going on, but that's about it. I
mean, yeah. Just like there was no there wasn't even a side tournament on stream.
No. So
that's been about it for me. I will be starting Final Fantasy XII The Zodiac Age. Probably as a way to take a break from Final Fantasy XIV after I finish the main storyline.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to just take a break from that and do some actual single player pretty soon. And they're cut from the same cloth, so it'll be a very easy transition to make.
Yeah.
So that's it for me.
All right. My turn then. By the way, at some point, I am intending to get Final Fantasy XIV. I'm probably going to get the, instead of a starter pack, I'm going to save and get the online complete edition.
Okay.
The cool one that comes with, you know, Realm Reborn.
Stormblood.
Yeah. And just go ahead and get all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so my primary gaming for this week has basically been divided between Fire Emblem Echoes and Tales of Berseria. Fire Emblem Echoes, I'm pretty sure I'm on the downslope for it. But then I found out that there's actually a post-main story thing that comes up after you finish the main story, which is apparently somewhat related to the Fire Emblem Awakening. yeah, so other than that, Tales of Berseria has been my primary gaming experience, and holy shit, is that game dark. man, it does not screw around. The prologue is like the darkest beginning to a Tales game I've ever experienced. Because you're basically playing this chick named Velvet who is really sweet and very family devoted. And then, you know, both of her parents are dead. Her older sister, Celica, is dead. Like I probably pointed this out, Tales of Berseria is a prequel to Tales of Zestiria. It's like a century beforehand. And so you see like a lot of the institutions and establishments from Tales of Zestiria coming into existence and doesn't exactly put the best light on them. Let me just put it that way. And then you're, you know, once Velvet, you're Once, like, the big thing in the prologue happens, which is the big sort of major tragedy that sort of sets all the events in motion. I won't spoil it, but it's – she basically just completely freaking snaps. Mm. And by the time, you know, the game proper starts, she's basically become – decided that she's going to get her revenge, and she doesn't care who she uses or what she uses to get it. And this is the good guy that you're playing. She also has this really... So basically, she ends up turning into what later on in this part of the Tales franchise they call a demon, which is basically a person who is taken over by a demonic spirit or whatever, and there's different types, and the one Velvet turns into is called a Therian, and it's literally a demon that feeds off of other demons. And the way she does it is kind of not pleasant, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. The story's good, graphics are good. The gameplay is very action RPG-ish, you know, a lot like the original, like Zestiria was. It's a lot of fun. Quite enjoying it. So, that's what I've been up to. What about you, Chris?
So I've been playing more of the Crash Bandicoot trilogy and still enjoying it a lot. I'm in the later parts of the first game, and that game just keeps kicking you in the nuts over and over again. It's just that hard, and if you are not making good jumps, because there's a lot of times when you just play like side-scrolling platformers, you do that thing where you make a jump and are worried about getting hit by something and jump back off. That happens to me a lot in that game. Especially when it requires tighter timing and you are worried about making over jumps or your jump's not as long when you're trying to catch on to moving platforms. And that game does not try to make it easy on you, especially since that first game is especially way more difficult than the other two. But the dynamic difficulty stuff works pretty well eventually. I whittled my way down from lives on this one level, and it installed an extra checkpoint near where I was dying a lot, which was pretty cool.
I didn't even know it did that.
Yeah. And it'll throw give you a mask to start if you die enough, things like that. Just try to help you along. And continuing along with that first game, but put some more time into the third. I was doing a lot more kind of vehicle sections, some of the more variety things that they do in that. Like underwater stages where you have this kind of scuba thing that you're riding along with that fires missiles that you can use to take out enemies pretty easily and blow up some of the coral because there are boxes hiding under it. Things like that, which is pretty cool. And they make it pretty easy to unlock the sister Coco for that game, because she's right in the hub at the very beginning of the game. Whereas the first game, you have to beat the first 8 or 9 levels to unlock her.
Yeah, you basically have to end up getting to the first boss, and then you get her, I think.
Yeah, there's a side path that you just go down to, and there she is.
Yeah.
And enjoying it a lot. Hoping to get a review in by tonight as I play some more. But along the way, I've also been playing more of the Final Fantasy XII remaster, which I got the other day. And I wasn't initially going to get it, but then I got an email reminder that I took advantage of a price mistake on Amazon and got it for $32 a while back. So I was like, well, for that much, I'll take it. It's not going to be on that price for a sale or anything for a while anyway. And so far, I pretty much just got to the beginning part with Vaughn, as I'm about ready to go out and take on the Rogue Tomato.
Yep.
As one of the most, I like how they build him up as like a ferocious enemy, even though I know it's going to be like this little stupid tomato dude. Like, oh, this is why the vendor is not here yet. He's afraid of tomatoes. Okay. And yeah, that game holds up really well so far. The voice acting's good. And they fixed Vaughn's abs. So they're not like that weird 8-pack or whatever he had. It's a little bit more subtle and realistic than what it was before. Which is nice. And I'm looking forward to put more time into that. Though I was not expecting the big change in the license stuff. Because they're using the sort of international version that Japan got, but we never did.
Yeah.
So, like, right up front, you have to pick a class for whichever character you're trying to set up for that. And it's like, oh, I got to...
Yeah, and you're stuck with it for the whole game.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I got to make an important decision already.
Yeah.
Which, for Vaughn, I just picked Nike, cause it's like, easiest. That seems like the easiest thing to understand. It's like, there's no sniper or any of the mages or anything like that. Yeah, so far that's been pretty good. I also got started in Marvel Heroes Omega on the Xbox One. And they completely changed the start of that game.
Okay.
Between the PS4 and Xbox One releases. So they changed prices for a lot of the heroes. So, and the cheapest tier is not $275 Attorney Splinters, it's $200 now. And there's more than three characters in that. Before it was Angela, Squirrel Girl, and I forget what the other guy was. The guy was basically the wizard in Diablo 3. They added Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye, and a couple others to that tier. And now they only give you enough Eternity Splinters at the start of the game to get one of those cheap heroes.
Oh,
so you don't really have a choice of the majority of the roster anymore. Which means I'm playing the Xbox One version as the free Daredevil. So I can grind up enough to get Captain America. Which is not fun because he's kind of the opposite of what Captain America is.
Yeah.
He's close range, melee focused and all that.
Yeah.
So not having as much fun as I would like, but the second tier I think is 500 and then it's 700 for the highest tier. 700 or 750, I forget what it is. But yeah, that was an interesting thing to see. On PS4, when they put out that big update, they gave all the people that played already four of the Marvelous loot crates. So you get some sort of premium stuff for free for playing early. Which unlocked like a Squirrel Girl outfit, so I got one for her. I got the Planet Hulk outfit, so that gladiatorial outfit that he has. And there's like one more, and then it's just a bunch of like crafting material.
Yeah,
like premium crafting material stuff, which was nice to see that they gave those of us some extra stuff for playing early.
Yeah.
Along with getting extra Eternity Splinters for playing real early, too. So it's definitely got a bit of stuff there. Otherwise, the game itself is pretty much the same. I had some weird bugs. They might be just internet bugs, but when I was playing through the first chapter, heading towards Dr. Octopus's area, the boss fights, the game just stopped loading the levels. So I got to the part where I had to talk to the guy before going in to fight Dr. Octopus, and there was nothing else there. I was like, huh, maybe I'll go back. It stopped loading back there too. Like I could see exactly what they load at one time. It was just a very weird thing. Like I backed out, didn't lose any character progress, but obviously had to hop into the last checkpoint that they have there, which was a very weird thing. It might have been just internet issues, but I never had that before. I think I had something else, but for the most part, it's been pretty solid. And I'm just waiting for the Destiny 2 beta to start up. I got that, the code for that, and downloaded it. And that should be starting Tuesday, I think.
Yep.
Which will be fun to try it out, see what's in there, and have a video up on the YouTube channel for that.
Yeah. Mm. Apparently, it's going to be an actual beta where you can make actual feedback, and it will have actual impact on what the game ends up being. So
that'll be good.
Yeah, it's not, one of those fake ass betas
that Ubisoft does.
Yeah, because the beta they had for the first game was kind of just the very beginning of the game.
Yeah,
just hey, here's like the first couple missions.
Yeah,
go play it. I was like, wait. Is that all there is on this on Earth?
Pretty much.
I hope not. It's like, no. I guess it was. So yeah, I know they have a couple of missions, strike, and a couple other things in there, which look forward to seeing how different and how much the same it is.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun. And I guess the only other thing is I took another batch of games into GameStop before that trade-in deal ended and got another $167 worth of credit for like 9 games. Bought some stuff from the mid-year sale. Got some Xbox Live credit as well, which I got Voodoo Vince and a couple other things. But I got a bunch of PSN credits just waiting for Nier Automata to go on sale. It's like the only recent game that has not been on sale recently.
Give it time, and when it does...
Actually, it was on sale just recently.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I saw it. It was 30% off for, I think, 1 week, and then it was gone again.
I don't know about that, but...
Yeah.
I think Square Enix should be putting that stuff on sale more often.
Yeah.
Especially when we get, like, sales that's all about, hey, here's Horizon and Yakuza and... MLB and Neo is on sale and all this stuff.
Mm.
It's like, hey, throw Nier into that. Don't just ignore it. Because I'm sure he would like his game to be played by more people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not have to worry about Final Fantasy 15 all the time.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
We'll be talking about Tabo Yoko later.
Yeah. So I think that's been about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. So yeah, let's get into the show proper, and we'll start with Jason Vandenberg from Ubisoft, who was the producer for Honor.
Mm-hmm. He has jumped ship, and he's going to ArenaNet.
Yeah,
good fit.
Yeah, definitely a good fit there. He apparently really likes what the team at ArenaNet are doing with Guild Wars, and he feels he can bring something to that table. And yeah. So let's expect Guild Wars to get a lot more brutal. So,
it may or may not include pillaging in future patches.
Yeah. So, that's a good, I wouldn't say an upgrade, but definitely a good side grade. So,
expect to suddenly see Vikings and Samurai just show up out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well... kind of think one of the classes was similar to that anyway, but anyway.
Well, now it's going to be even more similar.
Yeah, I think they're just going to make that a thing.
I wonder if that makes For Honor a one-off, though.
Oh, that's... it would be unfortunate if it was, because there was something there.
Yeah.
You have to wonder how much of that game, being what it was, depended on him.
I think a big part of it. I mean, I think
probably
the big creative drive behind that.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that.
And then how much of it was Ubisoft being Ubisoft?
Yeah, probably most of that. So yeah, Ubisoft has lost quite a few people lately. Just going to point that out there. But
yeah,
they still have Michel Ancel. So
yeah.
I don't think it is print money with him, basically. Yeah,
so. Well, considering what the reaction to Beyond Good and Evil 2 was.
Yeah. even though like that trailer didn't show anything.
But yeah, it didn't really have to.
Yeah, it's just, hey, this exists. We did get a pretty good idea of the scope that the game is trying to go for. So
So Jav Monkey is love. Monkey is life.
And lots of swearing. So that was a thing. So we'll start with we got a few stories here that revolve around Nintendo and the Switch getting supported, whereas the new 3DS is not.
Yeah, who didn't see this coming a mile away?
Yeah, production of the new 3DS is ending.
That's just the model called new 3DS. The XL, the new 2DS XL, those are all going to be left alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just the smaller one of the of the lot. So they're phasing that out, which I'm guessing means that the production line capacity that used to occupy is going to go to the Switch.
Yep, probably.
Because they can't make enough of those. They keep selling them as fast as they make them. So
it also means goodbye faceplates and not much else.
Yeah, basically. I mean, really, the only reason that you would buy one of those new 3DSs is to import a Famicom faceplate from Japan, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where you're really losing a heck of a lot there. Oh. But, I think that's a good move on Nintendo's part.
They got to get more Switches out there.
Yeah, they really have to get more Switches out.
They have realized that, holy shit, we're actually making money.
The Switch is being a big success for them. And according to these next two stories, third-party support seems to be materializing, at least for the moment.
Namco Bandai, fingers, hope it keeps happening.
Yeah, it was announced Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 is going to Switch on the 22nd of September.
Yep.
So,
that'll sell.
That will sell. Another game that will probably sell is WWE 2K18, and that's out this fall. So, yeah.
Probably day and date with the other versions?
I would imagine so. I don't really think they should be able. They should have to delay that particular version, especially when the other ones are so far off anyway right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's third-party support for the Switch. It's a thing for now.
And all indications are that they aren't skimping on the Switch version.
Nope.
Yeah. So,
This is really
how that's going to work. I'm not entirely sure, but
they'll figure it out.
A featured version for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't imagine that that game is particularly difficult to run. I think if you scale it back to 720p, like the Switch is known to do, you could probably get all of that detail in there. So, I mean, you're not dealing with huge, huge open worlds here. It's just a
clean poster. Yeah, I'm just thinking of discrepancies between 7th and 8th gen versions of past installments.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be an issue anymore because I think they're all going to be based on the same code base.
Cool. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think this year is when they're dropping the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions of WWE.
Yeah. So no more 2K wrestling games for 7th gen. And, let's be honest, those systems have run their course at this point.
Yeah,
there's a few games still left to come out, but we know it's basically days are numbered at this point. So both Microsoft and Sony have stopped production. So yeah, if you want a PS3 or an Xbox 360, you might want to hit up Amazon and get yourself one right now.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyways.
Great runs those systems had, though. That cannot be understated.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, I think that generation ran a little too long. I'm kind of one of those people that kind of agrees with that. Mm. I mean, you and me, Pat, I mean, we grew up on console generations being about 5 years at most. So,
But, I mean, we're kind of on opposite sides of this particular issue because I think we had another year when the PS4 and the Xbox One launched. I think we had another year before there was any meaningful transition between generations. If HD was the 7th generation's big, meaningful change, and I think it was, absolutely, then I think that the social kind of streaming features of the eighth generation consoles are what are going to define its identity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think it just keeps evolving from there.
Yeah.
You know, I think compatibility is probably going to be a big, big touchstone for these systems going forward. Well, at least in the case of Microsoft, they seem to be hell-bent on making sure everything runs on the Xbox from all the
way back. Right there in the name, Xbox One.
Yeah.
One runs. Xbox for all of your needs, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, Sony really needs to get that stuff sorted out. But, we'll see how
that goes. They just need to remember that the PlayStation is an ongoing masterpiece, and in with the new doesn't necessarily have to mean out with the old, especially with things the way they are now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, fire Jim Ryan.
Yes.
Yes, from a cannon.
Yeah. So this next story is actually pretty interesting. I hadn't actually heard of this one before, but it's apparently operating system RPG is what it's being referred to as, Kingsway. It's coming the 18th of July. That's, this week.
2 days.
2 days.
Yep.
$10 on Steam. It's weird looking, and I think I actually want to play this because it looks really, really fun. I mean, this just looks
coming
bizarre.
From Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another weird game where you're kind of on a Windows 98-esque operating system.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And trying to battle the internet or whatever.
Yeah.
Like pop-ups. Enemies are pop-ups.
Yeah. You got programs crashing. You got all kinds of weird stuff in there.
Like level up and all that stuff. Keep track of your stats.
Yeah.
So it's basically simulating what it was like to be a computer user 20 years ago.
Pretty much.
Yeah, what's the upside?
Well, it has XP now. So you can level up and, yeah, actually have something useful to show for it at the end of it, I suppose.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
When you're done, you're not just using the OS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same OS.
So, and you can also quit out of this, so unlike the other, which you couldn't back then, so there. Anyway. So, sorry about that. We got more PSVR news. Dino Frontier heading to PSVR platform the 1st of August.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the new game from Uber Entertainment, who made Wayward Sky for PSVR. Which was a great sort of puzzle game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more like a management kind of city building game, in a sense, where you are managing a frontier settlement in like a Wild West type setting. And the wild part of it is that there are dinosaurs out there.
Mm.
So you sort of set up buildings, tell people, okay, you're the one in charge of getting us wood and all that. You're in charge of the town, the shop, and set up groups to go out and hunt for food, take on dinosaurs, and you can go watch them fight.
Hmm.
And there's seems like it's a really well done game. And there's a bunch of PSVR stuff coming out over the next couple weeks. There's Super Hot VR, Archangel. A bunch of other games all coming out over the next few weeks that are looking pretty good. So it's going to be an expensive few weeks for PSVR people.
Yeah, well, which is good. I mean, you want the platform to have support, so, you know.
Yeah. It's like, hey, E3's over. Here's a bunch of games.
Yep.
Hope you have the money for them.
Yeah. At least, most VR titles are typically around $20.
Yeah.
I think there are, what was it? The one with that comes with the controller?
Farpoint. Which I'm still trying to get, but it's either keeps coming back in stock with such a little short stock that it's out real quickly, because I get emails from Best Buy. It's like, hey, you were looking at this. You want to order it? It's like, open it up, and it's like,
gone.
There's nothing here. What the fuck are you emailing me about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Dino Frontier is going to be $30, but if you pre-order, you get 20% off.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like pre-order deals for some of this stuff, which is pretty good. You can get a deal with both Super Hot and Super Hot VR. You get 25% off with that, which is a pretty good deal. I'm tempted to do that, but I think I'm also trying to get an actual code for Super Hot VR.
Yeah. All right. In other news, I think if most of us have actually looked at Warframe at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this game still exists. It's still being actively developed. And they're going to be adding an open world element to it.
Yeah, so
Eidolon update.
Eidolon.
Eidolon?
Oh, Eidolon.
Yeah, Eidolon.
Eidolon.
I missed one word letter there. Eidolon. So yeah, they announced this at TennoCon, the second annual convention for Warframe. Mm-hmm. And this is a big open world area. Set in around an NPC town called Cetus. I don't know, Cetus. And it holds about 50 players in it, so you can go explore a little bit, hang out with people, shop in the town. They actually announced you can actually craft your own weapons now, sort of with a couple of different base options for like the handle, the actual blade itself. It's just for like the bladed weapons that you use for melee, which is pretty cool. There's a day-night cycle in this whole thing. So that's they also pull out, you see that mountain back there? You can go there. which is still pretty cool for this game because it's been very linear and kind of just menu based in a sense. Like you had your little ship that you went around in, picked up different parts of it to choose missions or go into the multiplayer or shop or craft or set your equipment or whatever.
Yeah.
Now you got this big old world. You can take on missions directly from people in the town, partner up with people seamlessly and fly around, fish, a bunch of different stuff, and it seems like it's going to be a pretty big update.
Yeah.
To have this game kind of morph into what people expected the original Destiny to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty good.
Yeah. They've like upgraded their engine to make all this work. It's obviously before it was kind of built around linear levels.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a real corridor crawl back.
Yeah.
For a while.
And now they're able to do this big, huge open world with enemies and such all around it. And it's looking like it's going to be a pretty cool update.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And it's still free to play, so.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something to look at.
Yep. Yeah, there's a big sort of demo video. It's like 17 minutes long. Watch to see everything they show off there. And they do a pretty bad job with the audio in it because the guy that's sort of guiding it, you can barely hear him.
Mm.
They apparently didn't do too good on the audio capture part of it.
Oh, well.
You can tell it's recorded from a convention center.
Yeah.
Because you can hear like the crowd in there too, like when they get excited about the open world part of it and all that. It's like, oh, you can craft your own weapons. Yeah! Then you can barely hear the guys guiding the demo.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's turning into a completely different game. So, yeah. Hey, these things have to evolve if they're going to keep players. Mm-hmm. So, all good on them. All right. So, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. There's upcoming update. It's going to be getting a first-person only mode, which,
just
another way to play it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like when you go to start it, you can choose like servers to go on, whether it's regional servers or specific ones for solo play, duo, or groups, which is three or four. You can do that solo as a way of like testing your combat skills.
Yeah.
Sort of pit yourself against groups automatically, which is probably a good way to do that, but it's also a good way to make it really hard on yourself.
It's a good way to get yourself killed, yes.
And so now they're going to offer ones that are just for first person. So you don't no longer have a third person option.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah.
I think they're also adding FOV sliders to the game.
Yeah.
So you can sort of improve that stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they also have a bunch of
up for VR.
I don't know about that, but the custom servers are also where like the zombie stuff comes in as people set up their own weird games for which is pretty interesting. I think I saw something earlier about somehow group of players that matched into a game, like 50 of them managed to cooperate enough to all get in one smaller area. So that's to test like the limits of the engine as you have like all these people in a small area setting off shit and all that. So apparently the game does okay at.
It didn't break.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Wow, that was a pretty one-sided winner's finals.
Who was that?
Blaze Blue.
Yeah.
It was
3-0. Oof. Yeah, that's, that was a blowout. Anyways, let's see. So, yeah. This is a story about really cool developers.
All right.
In particular, Firewatch. Apparently a fan was, you know, he kind of sent in an order because he wanted the book that was in the game. And the devs just made one for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
I mean, for the record, it's basically just a notebook, but...
Yeah. They basically just designed, like, the front and back covers. Did some writing and art design for that, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he got the order from inside the game. There's like a piece of sort of throwaway art of this, so he figured out how to make it actually real and print it out and sent it in with some money, like $4.50.
That's
I think
awesome.
He was just like, look, I got four, you know, he's like, what the hell? Might as well give it a shot.
Yeah, I think secretly the devs were kind of waiting for somebody to actually do that. Because, I don't think they would have put that, you know, notebook, well, that order form in there if, you know, people are just going to screenshot and do all kinds of stuff. So, they're probably expecting it at some point.
And the email, the letter they sent with it says, thank you for your letter in order form. We have processed it in your copy of Love at First Sight, as in S-I-T-E, by Mo Morlow is attached. You may not know it, but you are a very lucky reader. It's not only our last copy of Love at First Sight, but it's the last book Red Panda Press has left in stock. I'm proud to send it out and hope you enjoy it. And as much as we enjoyed carrying it and the rest of our library for the past 52 years.
Yeah.
So we're saying, there's no more of these. We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, we're not going to do that again. It's still, it's cool that they did it in the first place. So, yeah. So, yeah, hats off to them. Anyways, we got acquisition news. I'm sure some of you know about the boutique headset manufacturer Astro Gaming. They do some really high-end gaming headsets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, built with, of course, they got amps, they got, you know, good quality microphones. It's, you know, pro level stuff that you typically see esports players using at the big tournaments.
Yep.
They've just been acquired by Logitech for $85 million. That's, I don't know. That seems low, but no, then again, it is a hardware company, and that's a very specific niche that they're filling here.
Mm-hmm.
And the blog post, they note that Astro is laser focused on console products and Logitech is focused on PC hardware. So it helps them cover all platforms pretty much.
Yeah.
Which at this point, though, it's kind of the same thing for the most part.
Doesn't really matter because a console headset will work on a PC.
Yeah.
As long as it's not the Xbox.
It's only if you're like plugging into like directly into the HDMI or whatever for the headset itself. Otherwise, you get more easily the universal headsets that work between them all without necessarily messing with extra cables and all that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, just plug this into your controller. It'll work.
Yeah.
And then you're done with that, plug it into your PC.
Yeah, I like that about PS4. It's just plug it in and it works.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so cool stuff. I really need to try out one of those. Maybe I'll send out an email and see if I can get one for review. Anyways. So we got subscription service news. I'm sure we all need more subscription services in our lives. How about a PC-based service for indie games for $9.99 a month?
Hooray.
Crickets. I think it's called Steam Sales.
Yeah.
No, this is a constant $9.99 a month that you have to continually pay.
Yeah, I give Steam $10 a month, and they give me a bunch of indie games.
Yeah.
And I get to keep them.
And therein lies the problem.
Yeah. So I guess right now they're in beta for the next couple weeks before launching, and they're going to have up to 100 games at launch, at about 10 more every month. And you stream them, but not cloud-based streaming. It's through the website.
So it's like games on demand.
Yeah.
Thing.
And so essentially the developers get paid per hour played, depending on the deal. It's like 25 cents to 50 cents an hour. Otherwise, you get unlimited access to all those games. And they're sort of curating more indie stuff to come in. So they expect about 10 extra games to go per day. And there's a lot of people. I'm looking at the list of people working on this, like former CEO of Sega, Tom Kalinske.
Okay. Now I'm more interested.
I'll see here. Anthony Palma, CEO. Advised 50-plus gaming startups. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for...
Robert Bowling is part of this.
Who?
He's an advisor, which he tried to start his own thing like this called The Label.
Yeah.
Which is a bit more like the Humble Bundle monthly stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a package of games every month, which never got off the ground.
Yeah.
Lewis Castle is an advisor. Yeah, Tom Kalinske is an advisor. Lewis Castle is head of Amazon Game Studios. Mike Williams, formerly of EA Games Label, former CEO of Square Enix, Mike Fisher. Yeah, a bunch of fairly big name people here.
You know, I could probably see this working on a, you know, month by month basis. If there's like something you kind of want to play, but you're not really sure about it.
Yeah.
You can just, you know, try it out for $10, try out a bunch of games that you're not sure of. And then, you know, if you like them, you can go over to Steam and get them for $2 each.
Yeah, and they're going through a third-party service for multiplayer matchmaking, achievements, and all that, which is interesting. I forget what it's called. Seeing if it's mentioned here in the article. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, well, probably not that
important. I lost track of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And it's, I don't think we actually mentioned the name. It's called Jump. So, might be one, might be something to watch. You know, I've seen stuff like the Indie Box. I've seen stuff, we talked about the Humble Monthly. But this is, you know, it's something a little bit more curated. So we'll see how it goes.
It'll work across Windows, Mac, Linux, even have some Vive and Rift games.
Yeah.
Too.
We do need more curation.
Yeah,
in the indie scene these days.
Yeah. Speaking of, Valve is working on an overhaul to the recommendation engine for Steam. This is, I think, to go along with the whole Steam Direct system that's going into place now. They're, you know, working to make the recommendations more relevant and, more importantly, more transparent, to actually let you know what the hell, why they picked this game.
Yeah. And they're going to get rid of some of the stuff when you go through your, like, your queue, where it's like, add to wish list. No thanks. Move on. It's, you're going to be able to actually tell them that you actually enjoy the game or not, so you can have more nuance to it than just, this is on your download list. That must mean you enjoy it. No, that's not how it works.
I thought it was shit.
Yeah.
Well, generally, I wouldn't.
I got this free code. Doesn't mean I wanted it really or enjoyed it. So they're going to get rid of some of that stuff and make it more easy to just examine. They say the new system should be able to examine a player's library and individual play times to individually create recommendations based on what you actually enjoyed and played a lot.
That's good.
Versus like now where it's because I've played like one or two games with like anime art style to it. Yeah, it recommends all of the visual novels. Yeah. That was like 95% of the stuff I got recommended during the summer sales.
Yeah,
visual novels. Like, visual novels. No. Yeah.
Nope.
I like the one with the birds, where the people were birds. You're dating a bird. That's stupid as hell.
Yeah.
But I don't want all the visual novels.
So, yeah. We will see how this ends up working out. We know Steam is currently kind of in a state of flux right now because they're changing things up, trying to make things as hard to game for scumbags as possible. I don't know if they're really going far enough, but in the end, I think what they really need to do is, work on that recommendation engine and make sure it actually brings up stuff that you might actually enjoy.
Hiring some CSRs would be nice, too. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, well, that requires humans. Why hire a human when you can write an algorithm? Anyways, I'm sure Gabe can afford it. So we got release date news finally. Gran Turismo Sport, the release date has been kind of speculated about, but now it's official. It's coming out October 17th of this year.
I will be there.
Yeah. I expect a PS4 Pro bundle to come along with it.
They now as well as an
exorbitantly priced racing wheel.
Yep. You were saying, Chris?
Yeah, they announced a couple of special editions.
Yeah.
There's a Gran Turismo Sport Limited Edition for $70 here in the U.S., $90 in Canada.
Yep.
You get the starter pack of 8 cars, $1 million in credit, livery pack, 30 avatars, a chrome racing helmet for your driver, and a steelbook.
Hmm.
Would you say 8 cars?
Yeah, you get like 8 cars unlocked at the beginning of the game.
Oh.
So instead of like just picking your one and going,
you
get a selection of stuff right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's like, here's your crappy beat-up car.
This is fun. It's fun playing with a crappy beat-up car.
Yeah. Then you get ones that actually look good.
Yeah.
And there's a Gran Turismo Sport Digital Deluxe Edition, $80 or $100 in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You get a 12-pack starter pack, $2 million livery pack, 60 avatars, and the chrome racing helmet.
Hmm. So, yeah, Canada gets shafted, as usual.
Yeah.
I think I'll be picking this up on Amazon, where I get a 20% discount.
Mm-hmm.
So, as long as, it will apply to that game. So.
Yeah, it seems like they're also going to be just having more announcements leading up to that launch to show more of what the campaign is and all that.
Hmm.
Which is good, because they haven't really talked about much of anything about the game.
Yeah, we've kind of seen... Pat has had his hands on with it, and I think he can... Well, no, actually he can't. He still can't talk about it.
Nope.
Kazuyama,
I can tell you that I've played it, and that's about it.
Yeah. So... Yeah, we will know all soon when they decide to get their, announcements in gear. But as
that NDA is some North Korea shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that inevitable PS4 Pro bundle, because they're already doing a Destiny 2 bundle for a PS4 Pro, which will actually be white. That's kind of an interesting one.
That's going to look kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
So, the first Destiny got a white PS4.
Yeah.
People were immediately like, why doesn't it look like the nice one with the printing on it, like the original? It's like, no, that one was plain white as the second expansion that had the nicer looking PS4.
Yeah.
So you got to wait until next year for that one.
Yeah, got to wait for the expansion. So that's coming soon. And In what should surprise nobody, the delay for Kingdom Hearts 3 has been announced. So that is now officially coming out in 2018.
Yep. That's not really a delay because the last time
we never really had much of a release date, did we?
No.
Well, the last time we had any discussion about a potential release date, it was pretty pessimistic in the Final Fantasy VII Remake stall at 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they said on the earnings call that the Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy VII Remake, rather, would be coming out between 2018 and 2020. So we were speculating which one was going to hit at that point. So it looks like...
And turns out it was the earliest.
Kingdom Hearts wow. will be 2018. Not exactly sure when 2018, but...
Who do you think saved it from Nomura?
I think Matsuda probably stepped in personally to just slap him around a bit.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, this has to come out.
Fly on the wall for that.
Yeah,
but we got some more footage and gameplay footage. We know one of the new worlds you'll be showing up is Toy Story.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so
and it actually looks pretty good.
Yeah,
and PS4 can actually do Toy Story now.
Yeah,
we finally caught up.
Yep. Toy Story in real time, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways.
I think they also announced the Gummy Ship is returning.
Yep.
Mm.
I don't know why.
But it is.
Because people scream Gummy Ship whenever they think about a new Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't really all that good last time around.
They got to put Chip and Dale in there somehow, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Anyways.
But yeah, now we get more of Tom Hanks' brother.
Mm.
Voicing Woody.
Yeah.
Yay. Anyways. So, in other JRPG news, Yoko Taro has had some strong words about Final Fantasy XV.
Yeah, just for the record, anytime Yoko Taro does an interview is in and of itself an event because he actually really does not like doing them.
Yeah.
It's kind of the reason he wears that mask in the first place.
Yeah.
But, which, yes, he did wear the mask. He wore it the whole time.
Yeah, so this was for something that the PlayStation has been doing for a little while called Discover the Creators,
mm-hmm.
where they have a bunch of lists up on the PlayStation Store of just here are games that some of your favorite creators recommend.
Yeah.
And they've also been doing sort of blog posts alongside this, and this one's written by Yoko Taro.
Yep.
I've got to say, though, for someone who really doesn't like being interviewed, Yoko Taro has had quite a lot to say lately.
Yeah.
Well, his game has been really successful beyond his wildest dreams. So,
yeah. So he starts us off by saying, "Hello, my name is Yoko Taro. I did things like direct a game called Nier Automata. I was asked to give a list of PS4 games that I recommend along with my comment for each, so I did just that below. And I was told to write one or two lines per game, but ended up writing quite a bit. Oh, well. It's okay, right? Here it goes." And his first was Resogun. Final Fantasy XV made the list.
Yeah, he actually does like Final Fantasy XV, believe it or not.
Yeah. He talks about how his journey with Final Fantasy XV has been. He says, "I was creating a title called Nier Gestalt Replicant when this title was called Versus 13. But because it was very likely that our games were released around the same time, I was thinking, oh man, Versus is an action RPG, right? It would suck if the release date were close to each other. Nier ended up releasing without having to worry about Versus 13. But then, when I was directing Direct Card 3, I thought it would suck if they released close to our release. And it was the same again when we were creating Nier Automata this time, too. Looking back, I feel like I was trapped by the curse of Versus for about 10 years. This game and its content created over the course of 10 years is unparalleled and unique, and I enjoy it a lot. One thing that surprised me the most is their incomprehensible passion towards food and beverage. Final Fantasy is amazing." He also goes on to talk about Horizon Zero Dawn sort of the same way. Says here, by the way, the release date of this game was only 1 week apart from Nier Automata, the game I created. I thought I was going to die. Well, I did die. I just noticed that I keep on talking about release dates. Talked about Gravity Rush and Gravity Rush 2. By the way, I go out to drink with the director Keiichiro Toyama once in a while, but the only image I have of him is being drunk. But I can't help and I can't help but think, how can a title like this come from a person like him? If you didn't know, he also created the what was the horror games that Sony made? That he made with Sony.
Oh.
Or was he? No, that was him. I forgot the.
No, it was
Siren, yeah.
Yeah.
He created those and Gravity Rush.
Yeah.
Just kind of completely opposite style ones.
Completely different.
Yeah. He also has the Danganronpa series. See, by the way, I go out to drink with the scenario writer Kazutaka Kodaka once in a while too. But when I saw his piercing eyes that appear as though he doesn't trust anyone around him, I thought, he does seem like the person that would create a mad game like Danganronpa. he also has Life is Strange on here. There's a game called Remember Me that was released for the PS3.
Yep, I played that one.
Artistic taste, and I awarded it my personal most visually beautiful game on PS3 award. And the company that created that game is Donut Entertainment in France. As a new title from that studio, I just can't help but pay attention to, wait, what is this graphic? The direction is completely different. The surprise was how I met Life is Strange. In sharp contrast to Remember Me, this title is about life in school in a quiet city. The title is great with many small youthful moments scattered around the game within the boundaries of restricted expression. By the way, Remember Me is still not localized in Japan. When is that going to be localized? And he also finishes off with The Last Guardian.
Yep.
I've waited 7 years. Seven. I love Fumito Ueda's creations, but I didn't think that I would play after waiting 7 years since it was announced. The finished game was beautiful to the very last detail, and the content was like a gem. This is a game that I ended up feeling happy to have been able to play while I was still alive.
And that's it.
And also, at the later on, he commented on his article, said, don't believe Yoko Taro, he's just a stupid guy, maybe.
trolling himself.
Yeah.
Because Yoko Taro. And what we've also learned is Yoko Taro goes drinking a lot. So.
Yeah.
And he,
that does not surprise me at all.
Mm. Yeah, and they also got some Nier outfits in Gravity Rush 2.
Mm.
So it definitely probably helped do a little bit of collaboration there.
Yeah. So, yeah, cool stuff from him. It's worth reading and worth checking out the games he recommends because they're all good. So,
yep.
Yeah. Now we have a delay to announce. Ni No Kuni 2 has slipped to January 19th of next year.
Yeah, I kind of saw that one coming.
Seems like a better spot for it to get out
of
the holiday mad rush.
You got a hard release date. Count your blessings, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Apparently they want to put some more detail into the overworld.
So, yeah.
Okay.
What I've been told, apparently some folks had seen the overworld and the original version, and they thought it was kind of lackluster.
Hmm.
So they're going back into that, and it's like, yeah, we're going to work on this a little bit before we release it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's a good start to next year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, no, I mean, holy...
Didn't the original Ni No Kuni come out right around that time, when the year it came out?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was a February release, if memory serves.
God, the first Ni No Kuni was freaking amazing.
Yeah, this looks...
It really was.
Really good, apart from that battle system, which I still have questions about. So
that's not really anything particularly major.
Well, it's
basically it's basically an action RPG Pokemon, basically. Mm-hmm. That's how you
It's kind of like if you had Tails but Pokemon.
Mm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the original released January 22nd, 2013.
Mm.
Also, all the Studio Ghibli, like, of course, obviously the art direction, which they did, but also the sort of little hints and, you know, shout outs to Studio Ghibli they've got in that game.
Mm. Yeah, so it looks good. And next year we can play it.
Yep.
So, all right. We've got something that we'll be able to play sooner rather than later, though. Later this summer, we've got East 7 coming to the PC. I think, aside from East 8, which is not yet out on PS4, this is the last one that we were missing.
Yep.
Out of the remakes. Well, no. There's the East 4 remake. what they're calling it in the remake form escapes me. It's still a PlayStation Vita exclusive. They never did remake East 5. Hopefully they'll get around to that sooner than later.
So there's a couple holes there that need filling.
For those who are curious, East 8 actually comes out in North America on September 12th.
Yep, on the show last week or a couple weeks ago, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And to totally pre-order it.
Looks amazing. So, very different. Looks very different than the East games in the past. This is, you know, well, completely different perspective anyway. So,
well, yeah, I mean, that's... yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But, yeah. So if you want to play... East 7, and you should, because it's really good.
Yeah.
If you don't have a PSP, well, now you're going to be able to do it on the PC. So.
Yeah. And really, you think after a while he would just, you know, figure out, you know, maybe I just shouldn't go boating.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should just, you know, get a job, stay away from the ocean for a while.
Yeah, because every time I get on a ship, it crashes.
I end up somewhere, and I have to do some stupid quest.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 20 friggin' years.
Sounds like the JRPG version of One Piece.
Yeah.
Trying to get somewhere and get sidetracked every single time.
Yeah.
Like, I always wonder, like, at the beginning... Okay, so... Obviously, he never actually talks in any of the games.
No.
He's a silent protagonist. So I always wonder every...
He makes up for it in the Falcom Gakuen anime series.
Yeah. And I always wonder, like, every... At the beginning of every East game, he wait... You know, after... Like, after the second one, every time he wakes up, he's like, oh, fuck, not again.
Yeah. God damn it. The question is, though, is this the shitty localization, or is are they redoing it?
Xseed is getting a... well, actually, I don't think E7 had a shitty localization. Xseed did it on the PSP.
Okay.
The shitty localizations that I can think of were of the Legend of Heroes Gagarf trilogy that was localized by Namco Bandai.
Yeah, and there was one that was localized, but there was one that came out by Konami on the PSP, so...
That was E6.
Yeah, it was E6. Okay, yeah, that
we already have on the PC and was retranslated by Xseed.
Okay, so we're good.
We're good.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So, now let's get into Evo, and we don't have a hell of a lot to talk about here, but...
Yet.
but we did get some info on Fighting Layer EX, so...
Which may actually be the name. Nerd Josh, one of the FGC players of some note, got his hands on the game, and over at SRK has detailed some of the systems. It looks like they're trying to make the gem system from Street Fighter Cross Tekken not stupid.
That would be quite the accomplishment if they can manage it.
Yeah,
it's a good deal of customization for your character without going into deep detail like DLC or what have you. So,
yeah. Well,
if they nail it, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's not the first game to use gems. What was it? Children of the Atom.
Marvel Superheroes, but that was a different kind of gem and a different context. That's going to be more your Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, which I should say, and I'm going to just sneak this into the show notes. We did get another Marvel versus Capcom Infinite character. Jetta.
Oh, wow.
The Wheel of Fuckage.
Yes. Saw that earlier. I'm quite pleased about.
I played the demo of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and I think I'm passing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it just didn't grab me. Don't know. It's just I guess Marvel games just really aren't for me. So
I felt that way about MVC 2 and 3, but that was because of the super over the top approach they took with it, the 3-on-3, this seems more subdued. It feels like X-Men versus Street Fighter or Marvel versus Capcom 1. That's my Marvel. So yeah. I'm all in on it.
Yeah.
At least for the start. I want to see how it turns out.
Yeah.
But I really hope the character roster isn't nearly as conservative as the leaks seem to imply.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, it's a game that I'll be able to respect anyway. It's something that we'll watch really well.
It'll watch really good.
So, you know, and I don't have to play every single fighting game and just to enjoy them. So, okay. Finally, we got an announcement from SNK. This happened a couple days ago. Code Mystics is heading up the port of Samurai Showdown 5 Special. Going to be, I think, first one we ever gotten that's uncut.
Yep, and first time this particular Samurai Showdown has found its way off of the Neo Geo. Because it was left off of the Samurai Showdown collection, it was left out of... I don't think it had been in any of the other compilations that have been going around. Even though it was available when the Legacy Xbox got its copy of Samurai Showdown 5, they just went with the original.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. So, yeah, this is a first time for Samurai Showdown 5 Special on a home console, unless you owned a Neo Geo AES.
Yeah.
So
it didn't get a release on the X2 hardware. I think that was Samurai Showdown 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Samurai Showdown 6 or Tenkaichi Kenkakuden was on the Atomos Wave.
Anyways.
So SNK was looking at the Atomos Wave at the time as a possible
replacement for the Neo Geo.
Replacement for the Neo Geo and yeah. They got some mileage out of it. KOF Neo Wave, KOF 11, obviously Samurai Showdown, Tenkaichi Kenkakuden, a couple other games, I think. Yeah. Metal Slug 6 might have been one of them.
I think Neo Geo Battle Coliseum was another one.
That it was.
Mm.
So,
yeah. I'd like to see that one.
It was a good stopgap for them.
So.
Oh, Neo Geo Battle Coliseum right now is backward compatible on the Xbox One.
Oh, so... Okay.
Yeah, it's there.
SNK's compatibility.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah, go on to the backward compatibility there and look at all the SNK stuff. You'll be amazed. KOF 2002 Unlimited match is there. Samurai Showdown 2.
Yeah, all of them, basically.
Yes.
So, pretty much.
Pretty much anything that was on Xbox Live Arcade for 360.
Yeah, from SNK is there. But, so I think we got a show for this week.
Yep. And just in time for Tekken 7 Top 8 in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to see how fast I can edit this show.
No, good luck, man.
Yeah.
Hit me up when you do.
Yeah. So with that, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, or your favorite RSS reader. Also, check out the site at smashpad.com. There's going to be some reviews and stuff going up this week, including Brandon's Valkyria Revolution review. He had thoughts. And
he had opinions.
Later today.
I had ideas.
Later today, you'll be able to read them. So, yeah. So until next week, I'm Filippo D'Adolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Barkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
Have a good one.